very quickly, Rabotai. Saber b'nei Yisrael v'yikholi teruma me'et kon ish asher yedevenu libo. Tzedakah is called teruma. They don't call it nedava, they call it teruma. Normally a donation is called a nedava, shemet nadev. When you make a mishaberach, we say. We don't say shetorem, we say shemet nadev, nedava. But here it's called teruma. The Ben Ish Hai explains that tzedakah has a tremendous ability to mematek dinim. Tzedakah is able to turn the midat hadin into midat rahamim. But there's two ways that this can happen. One is that the midat hadin goes away, or that the midat hadin itself turns into midat rahamim. The din itself becomes rahamim. How could that be explained? There was a story once of a fellow in the town that he was the wine maker of the town and the wine provider. Everybody knew you need wine, you go to this guy. He has hundreds of barrels of wine in his basement. So the competition came into town, and when the competition came into town, before they could start selling wine, they need to ruin this other guy's business so they can create a market. And they know that there's a rule that says that when you talk about wine or when you talk about anything, when you say something already, the fact that you said it is able to create a reality. Brit kirutal is satayim. There's a covenant that God gives to the lips. So what did they do? They went to the places where people drink wine, and they made themselves like two customers regular in the bar, wherever it is, and they start talking. Did you hear? Mr. So-and-so, 30% of his stock of wine became vinegar. Now what happens? People start talking. Why? Yeah, these guys just said over here, 30% of it, and it starts to spread. Once they start talking, what happens? The fact that they all said it turned to vinegar. Mm-hmm. Beauty, so they just, with their Lashon Hara, or Moti Shema, they ruined 30% of the guy's stock. The guy's going crazy. Can't believe it. How 30% turned to vinegar? 2 weeks later, they come back and they start talking. You don't believe what happened? I just heard the guys, another 30% turned into vinegar again. They're talking to themselves, but they're talking loud enough to the guy next to Kadir. That's how you spread rumors. The guys, I'm telling you, I was in the bar, two guys talking. They said another 30%. You heard 30%. Sure enough, boom. The second 30% turned into vinegar. The haki itself can create a negative reality. Anyway, sure enough, they did it again. And the last 40%, the guy lost 100% of his wine. Now these guys are excited. Now we put this guy out of business. He has no more wine. Now we'll come in with our barrels and we'll take the town. We'll turn the town upside down. This guy was a tzaddik. He said, can't be. Must be I made the averot that this should happen to me. So he went and he gave tzedakah. He gave tzedakah, even though at that point, he said, what do you mean tzedakah? He doesn't have any money. He lost all his inventory. He said, no, I'm going to give the tzedakah nonetheless, and we'll see what happens. So two things could have happened. Either God could make a miracle that the vinegar will turn back into wine. But something else happened. All of a sudden, a disease broke out in the town where all of the people started to get itchy skin. And the doctor came along and said, there's only one cure for this. You need wine vinegar. That's the only item that's going to be able to... Where we get wine vinegar from? Oh, this guy's got hundreds of barrels. He was able to sell it at a premium. So you see over here that tzedakah not only takes away the midat hadin, it can turn the din into the hamim. That the vinegar, which was a curse yesterday, that same vinegar... Without having to change it to wine, the vinegar itself becomes beracha. You understand? The vinegar itself becomes a beracha. which is an incredible, incredible thing. So that's what it means over here when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he sends down a Gezerah, the Gezerah is in letters. For example, he sends down the letters Negev. Negev means a damage. Negev. And then if a person gives tzedakah, Bnei Olam takes the same letters Negev and turns it into Gefen. Gefen's wine. Wine's a beracha. He doesn't have to get rid of the Negev. It's the same letters that are coming down. Bnei Olam switches it. Sometimes God sends down what's called Nega. And then a person gives tzedakah, and from the Nega becomes Oneg. God switches the letters. God sending down Pesha. From the word Pesha becomes Shefa. That means it doesn't have to change the Gezerah. The Gezerah itself just takes on a different reading. But it's the same exact Otiyot that are coming down. That's why the Pasuk says, Vayahafoch Hashem Necha et HaKilala LeBeracha. Vayahafoch. But the Olam switched the Kilala to a Beracha. He didn't get rid of the Kilala. He took the Kilala and Vayahafoch. He just switches it and brings it to something that's positive. That he makes an exchange on it. That's the power of Tzedakah. Not only does it able to get rid of Midat HaDin, it's able to make a mituk on Midat HaDin, that Midat HaDin itself will be Rahamim. So in Hebrew, the word for that, when you exchange something, is called Timura. A Timura is an exchange. So therefore, the Torah is coming to say that V'yikhuni Tiruma. Tiruma is Otiyot Timura. It comes along to say that the Tiruma itself, the Tzedakah, is giving you one of the powers of Tzedakah. The power of Tzedakah is it makes an exchange on the Midat HaDin. Not that it gets rid of it. It just exchanges it. The letters become like Timura and Tiruma, but then it switches the letters around, the Otiyot. There's another reason. Remember last week's parasha was Mishpatim, if you remember. It was a long time ago, but it was Mishpatim. And in Mishpatim we learned about the laws of commerce, the laws of business. 53 laws in Parashat Mishpatim. There's only 3 laws in the whole Sefer Bereshit, and there's 53 laws alone in Parashat Mishpatim. That's 50 more laws than the whole book of Bereshit, if you do the computation. So you see over here, one of the laws in Parashat Mishpatim, the 25th law happens to be, is the law of Tzedakah. In Kesef, Talveh, Et Ami, Et Ani Imach. If you're going to lend money to my nation, the poor man amongst you. So I asked the question last week, and I said, why is Tzedakah in Parashat Mishpatim? It's not a business law. It's not a law of commerce. It's a law of charity. All the laws in Mishpatim are not talking about Tzedakah. It's talking about pay your workers on time, don't charge interest, make sure if you damage your friend's item, you have to pay, you made it forswear, you have to pay. I know Tzedakah has to do with money. But why in Parashat Mishpatim? So we explain the big Hiddush over here. It's not enough that when a person gives money to charity, before he gives the money to charity, he must make sure that the money is kosher. Now sometimes people rationalize. They say, I give a lot of charity. Yeah, but you open on Shabbat. So what is this money? This money is tariff money. Or the guy selling who knows what. The guy selling pornography. And the guy's still making a lot of money. Yeah, that's what he does. But the guy's running a casino, he's running a gambling joint. And he takes the money and he gives it to the yeshiva. So what kind of money? This is dirty money you're giving us over here. That means the money that you give to tzedakah has to be money that you follow the other 52 laws. That's why tzedakah is written on, because tzedakah is connected to those laws over there. That the only time you give tzedakah is when the tzedakah is following the mishpatim, following the rules. Otherwise, it's called mitzvah ba'avera. You're doing a mitzvah through an avera. And that doesn't work. That's why it's very hard to make clean money. The pasuk says when it's talking about the construction of the menorah. This is parasha. The menorah was made from one solid piece of gold. That's called miksha. Miksha means it's one piece. Zahav tahor, made out of pure gold. So one of the rabbis said, for a person zahav to be tahor, for his money to be tahor, it's miksha, it's hard, it's difficult. Miksha zahav tahor. Well, so easy, says they have to be tough, because people like to cheat, and they like to make loopholes, and they like to cut corners. So when a person comes to give tzedakah, he has to make that the tzedakah is min hamutav. It's from the permissible. Huh? I said, tasim b'fnehem. That's what you come before. Nice. So that's the pasuk is saying, Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'yikholi terumah. Teruma is mina otiyot hamutav. That the charity has to come from the mutav, from the heter. That it doesn't come from the isur. Teruma otiyot hamutav. That the money that you give to tzedakah has to be money that is kasher. Then, the Torah says that besides giving the tzedakah from kosher money, but you also must give the tzedakah, it says, l'shmi. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yikru li teruma. What is li? As he says, li, l'shmi, for my name's sake. Now, we could question also the word v'yikhu. Take charity? No, you don't take charity, you give charity. Last night we gave a shi'ur on this, by the way. In Har Lebanon, like we do every Thursday night for about 20 years. And we expounded on the v'yikhu. We gave many answers to this. I'm not going to repeat the answer that we said last night, but I'll say one that we didn't say last night. What was the purpose of building the Mishkan? To bring the Shekhinah down. The Mishkan was an amazing structure. If you built it right and you had the right kavanot, the Shekhinah would be able to come from the seventh heaven and trickle down all the way to the planet Earth. So that's the result of the Mishkan. The result of the Mishkan is not to build a nice structure. Everybody walks by and says, wow, what a building. The purpose isn't the building, it is to bring the Shekhinah down. That's the takeaway. You got the Shekhinah. So the Pasuk is saying, the Berel B'nai Yisrael, speak to the people. The Kholi, they're going to take me. They're not taking the Tzedakah. God is telling them the purpose of the Mishkan. The purpose of the Mishkan is to take me. To take me from the seventh heaven and bring me down. Oh, how do you do that? Go collect some money and bring the Mishkan. So the Vyikhu is like going on the Tzedakah. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not take the money. Take me, God says. Vyikhu li. Take me. How do you do that? Go make a drive. The goal is to take me. How are you going to take me? Here you go to the Mishkan. I'm not going to say it again. The point is, fine. But how do you do it? It's got to be the Shmi. It has to be has to be what they call L'Shem Shamayim. Has to be L'Shem Shamayim. So the Kaf to be L'Shem Shamayim. So the great Rav Chida, he explains what does it mean the Shmi, that you have to give the Tzedakah L'Shem Shamayim. So he offers to us a Kabbanah that we've said in the previous years of the Chida, that when you give the Tzedakah, you're mechaven to miyached Shem Yudke Vavke. How do you do that? Chazak Baruch. The coin itself, or the check, or the currency is Yud. And when a person puts it into the palm of his hand, it's a He. And when he extends his hand, that's a Vav. And when the Ani opens his hand and then collects it, that's a He. Ani va'ashir nifgashu. Ose kulam Adonai. The pasuk says that the Ani and the Ashir meet. Hashem makes that meeting. When Hashemayim, the Ani and the Ashir meet, Hashem put them together so they can give charity. Ose kulam Hashem. But based on the Ani means Ose kulam Hashem, that both of them make Hashem's name. The Yudke Vav and the He, which is in the Ani's palm. The Gemara says, Arose la'asot tzedakah ya'ase im amale Torah. That if you want to give tzedakah, you should give the tzedakah with people that study Torah. Why? Well, it must be somebody that was studying Torah said that statement. So they're trying to monopolize all the funds. So they say, don't give to Bikur Olim, don't give to all those food funds or other things. It's a waste of time. Give it to the yeshiva, give it to the kollel. And then the guy from Bikur Olim probably finds another Gemara that says you should give only to Bikur Olim and not to... So each collector uses the Torah for his own agenda. But the Gemara does say that. Harotze la'asot tzedakah ya'aseim amale Torah. Chaim Yaakov Katzin Arav Shalom once said to one of his children, he told to Albi Kasten, he told them, Albi said, I want to ask you a question. When it's sunny, is it a beracha? Yes. When it rains, is it a beracha? Yes. Chaim Yaakov says, we find the pasuk for everything. When we go to a funeral and say it's raining, we say, oh, it's raining, oh, the heavens are crying, it's beracha. And then when it's a sunny day, we say, look, the sun came out in full glory out of respect to the sun. And if it's locusts, we say, oh, even the locusts are going crazy on that. And they find the looking for each scenario. So you see over here, they comes along and says, Ya'aseh tzedakah amale Torah. Why? Because in order to make this Yehud properly, the Benu Bahia said in last week's parasha that you have to chase the Ani. Because if the Ani is going to come to you first and he sticks out his hand, so now you messed up the Shem. He put out his hand first, that's a Vav, and then the He, and then you take the Yud and it says Vehaya. It's reversed, Vehaya. And whenever you take the letters of Yud Kevavke and you reverse them, it can bring Dinin. It's not pure mercy. So therefore you have to run to the Ani so you can make the Yehud properly. So the Chida writes that Amale Torah, people that study Torah, they're humble. They don't go stick their hand in the air, give me money. They're humble, they learn, they suffer, and they learn. How do you get money to the Amale Torah? You have to find them. I told you I was in Israel. You read my mind. You read my mind. Next story. They told me there's a great rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, Sadiq, in his staff. He don't move from his chair. He sits there 23 and a half hours a day learning. He's like the furniture, Talmud says. I wouldn't compare the rabbi to furniture. He's a tzaddik. So anyway, he's there learning 23 hours a day. Where does he make parnasa from? Where does he make a living from? Unless it lands on his head from the 23 and a half hours that he's there, he's not going to make parnasa the guy. But Hashem has a way to reveal these people to the world. And Hashem has his messengers, and the messenger, all of a sudden, you find him and you go give him money. So that's the perfect tzedakah, because you're giving it to somebody that's studying Torah, Amalei Torah, all day long, and you're able to give it to him, you're able to do the Yud Kei Vav Kei properly, because he didn't put his hand out. Amalei Torah, too busy learning to stick their hand out. Other guys, regular, the peddler, you have nothing to do all day long. So it's a little different. Understand what I'm saying? That's why it says give it to Amalei Torah. Because they're learning, so you're going to have to go to them. So you'll be able to make the Yud Kei Vav Kei straight. We gave a remez to this. It's the third reason why it says the word Terumah. Because the Baal HaTurim says the word Terumah is the letters Torah Mem. The Torah that was given in 40 days. What's the connection? But now you understand that the Terumah should be given to the Torah that was studied in the 40 days. Why? Because then you'll be able to give it the Shmi. Then you'll be able to give it according to the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Understand what we just said? That's the third explanation of Terumah already. For those that are keeping track. So you see over here that when a guy gives tzedakah, he's involved in Yehudim. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Kol Yesh lo esek im nashim lo yityahid imahim. Anybody that has business with women, make sure you don't make yichud with them. You know, a guy has a guy's a school teacher. He teaches kids in the playgroup. So the mothers come to pick up the children. So the mothers come into the building. So the teacher, the man, has to be careful now. Hey, he shouldn't be alone with these ladies because, it could lead to mixed dancing. It could lead to some sort of avira. Or a guy's a jewelry store. Who comes into the jewelry store? The ladies. They want to buy trinkets. So the guy has to be careful. He's in the store, and the jewelry store has a lock. And the same what happens when the guy comes in, they buzz him in, and now what happens, the door locks behind them. So that is Yehud. The Shem Yehud. And all of a sudden the guy pushes the button and the windows become tinted. And now the guy's in trouble. Yeah. Set up. Now the guy's in trouble. So the Gemara says, anybody that's involved in a woman's business, lo yityahid imahem, make sure that you don't come to make Yehud with them. You understand what we're saying? But according to what we're saying over here, there was one rabbi, he was a big rebbe, and he used to give out a lot of tzedakah to the aniyim. They saw him one day taking the tzedakah, putting it from one hand to the other hand. So they don't know what he's doing. Why is he putting the tzedakah from one hand to the other hand? So they went and explained to him. He said, listen, when I give tzedakah, I make the yichud of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what I do. is, however, the Gemara says a lot of times ladies come to me also to collect. Almanot, widows, and ladies like that that are poor people. And Halakha says you're not allowed to hand money from the hand from man to a lady. It's not proper. You understand? It's not proper to Yad li yad lo yinakera. Yad li yad. There was one young guy, I once saw him in the supermarket, and he saw me paying for, you know, the whatever I was getting, a Snapple, doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to write Snapple, doesn't matter what it is. So what happened over here? What happened over here is, I give him the dollar. I give him the dollar. So I put the dollar on this counter because there was a lady behind the counter. I don't want to put the dollar on the lady. I put the dollar on the counter. So the guy says, hey, why don't you put it in the hand? I said, hey, what do you think? You're a Mashgiach over here? Where should you go? First of all, why don't you pay for it? Pay for me, then do whatever you want. I have to pay. So I'm paying. I do whatever I want. You want to pay for me, then you can dictate. I'm paying my son. He's going to pay for me. No. It's humrah, you're mahmir. You're allowed to put in the hand over there. Okay. So right away, the guy went on purpose to show me, oh, you can give us a dollar. And that's the goy asked him, thank you. And it's like, he's a minumat guy, he's an ethical guy. He thinks he made a kiddush Hashem. He's trying to make me that. Look at you're a fanatic guy, you put the money on the counter. Look at me. I'm a modern guy. It's to you. I put a mental note on this guy. In my brain, I made a special file on this guy. I opened a new file on him. And I put it in my brain. I put his name on the file. And I said, okay, open a file. Watch this guy. Because the Gemara says, Yad li yad, lo yinakeh. The guy who does this over here on purpose. Not the guy who went to 7-Eleven, he wasn't thinking. This guy did it on purpose. Sure enough, he ended up getting caught. And he worked in the office and he went with the secretary. What is yarmulke on? What is yarmulke on? The guy got banned from 8 institutions. I saw it. Now, I threw out the file. That's it. The file's done. I don't need to keep a file of the guy anymore. Sometimes you have to keep a file for 30 years. This file already, I got rid of it. I snaked it out. I put it out. And I knew it. I could have told you from then. So the tzaddikim, when ladies come to them for tzedakah, they don't put the money in their hands. Not nice. But they want to do the yehud. So what do? They put it from hand to hand, their own hand first. They have kavana yud, he, vav, he. They do the yehud. Then they put the money on the table. And the lady takes it. That's the modest way, understand? And that's what the Gemara means. He said, kol sheyesh lo esek in nashim. He has an esek with ladies, meaning esek of tzedakah. Lo yityached imahim. Don't make the yichud with them. Don't make the yichud of yudke vavke with them. Make the yichud yourself, and then let them take it. You understand how they say it? So that's the what it says in the Gemara when a sheep brings down the yichud teruma li lishmi. That you should give the tzedakah with the kavanah l'shem shamayim. Now, on this subject of the tzedakah l'shem shamayim, I once heard from a great rabbi called Rav Chaim Kreiserstein of Hashem. He was the chief rabbi in Antwerp, Belgium, but he was also the Rosh Yeshiva of our yeshiva that we studied in Israel, Merkaz HaTorah. So he would come from time to time to speak in the yeshiva. He once said the following. He said the Gemara says En motzi'im et hamet min hadleka ela al yedei kikar v'tinok. It's talking about, God forbid, that there's a fire in the house somewhere. And God forbid somebody died in the fire. And now you want to remove the mit on Shabbat. On Shabbat, you want to remove the mit. Now, only problem is the mit is mukseh. You're not allowed to move a mit on Shabbat. It's mukseh. So the Gemara says there's two ways to move it out. Or al yedei kikar or tinuk. Kikar. You take a loaf of bread, the Gemara says, put the loaf of bread on the body. Now, the body has a non-mukseh on it, and therefore, agav the bread, you're able to, or take a baby, a tinuk, when the mother's not looking, take the baby, put it on the dead guy, because the mother won't let you do such a thing, because there's germs and stuff like that. But when the mother's not looking, put the kid on the dead body, and grab him out. That's the Gemara says. Em motzi'im et hamet min hadedaka ela ayde kikar v'tinuk. That's exactly the page that it's on. Hazak u baruch. So Rav Chaim Kaiser said, there's deep over here. The Gemara is coming to say a deeper hidush. The Gemara is coming to say the mit is talking about somebody that died. Anybody, after 120 years. And the deleka is talking about the fires of Gehinnom. En motzi'im et hamet min hadeleka. If a person who died wants to get saved from the fires of Gehinnom, there's only two ways he can get saved. Ela al yedei kikar. Kikar is what? Kikar kesef. Like we read in the Megillat Esther. Va'aseret alafim kikar kesef. Kikar is also referred to money. Understand what I said? Kikar is money. Like it says, when a baby boy is born, he brings berakah to the family. When a lady and a girl is born, she takes. Girls are a taker. Girls take. Boy, however, is mashpia. Zachar is Rashi Tevot. Ze ba. Vikikaro biyado. Zachar. When the boy is born, he's born with a bundle of money. He brings berakah to the family. Zachar brings in kesef. A guy has a baby boy, 2 weeks later he gets a raise in his salary. That's what happens. Ze ba vikikaro biyado. That's Zachar. So Zachar brings berakah to the family. Nekeva, boom, he gets a bill from the IRS 2 weeks later. That's nothing bad. But when a zachar is born, it brings berakah to the family. We know that already. So kikar is referring to kikar kesef. He says the only way that a person can get saved from the Gehinnom is ayedei kikar. You have to give the tzedakot. Utzdakat tatzil min mavet. The mavet is referring to the Gehinnom. That's referring to the place of mavet in the lower places over there. And the tzedakah is able to redeem a person. Utzdakat tatzil min mavet. It saves the person actually from that type of death. But then he said there's another way. Al yedei kikar v'tinok. What is tinok? Tinok is tinoko shel bet rabban. Tinok is the children. When a person comes along and he trains tinoko shel bet rabban in Talmud Torah, that not only does he give tzedakah, but he gives kikar to wear, kikar to tinok. That means he gives tzedakah to support the yeshiva. There's no greater tzedakah, he would say. Because now you're ensuring the next generation to perpetuate Torah. Like we just said, mi sheyesh lo tzedakah, ya'aseh ota im amale Torah. You should spend the money in tzedakah to the Torah, people are studying Torah. Now, if a guy has $5,000 to give to tzedakah, either he can go buy a pigeon Peter Hamor coin for $5,000, and they give him a silver coin. Say, this is a commemorative coin from a ceremony of pigeon Peter Hamor. I don't know who the Hamor is over there exactly. The guy who has the coin or the Hamor? Hey, you have now two Peter Hamors you have. Or the guy comes to the yeshiva. Guys, we have a kollel, we want to study, we have guys who want to support them, they're learning Torah. No, I'm sorry, I'm involved in Peter Hamor. Okay, good luck. So you see, that's what you have to know exactly how to give the tzedakah. And then when it comes to the tzedakah, it has to be in Torah education. So he said, that saves the person from Gehinnah. Marotzeh, ha'en motzi'im et ha'met min ha'deleka, ela al yedei kikar v'tinok. That you combine the kikar of tzedakah to the tinokot shel Bet Rabban, and you put them together, kikar v'tinok, finish. Now would be an appropriate time to make an appeal to the yeshiva. But I'm gonna save that for another day. Because we're talking about the mitzvah of the tzedakah. And that's why Parashat Terumah comes right after Parashat Mishpatim. What do we learn in Parashat Mishpatim? Matan Torah. Everybody thinks Matan Torah was in Parashat Yitro. It's true. But at the end of Mishpatim also is the aftermath of Matan Torah. That's when the Jewish people said, now, Tevin Ishma. They accepted the Torah. So right after Am Yisrael accepts the Torah and says, now, Tevin Ishma, Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'yikholi Teruma. There's a connection between the parasha of Mishpatim of the Torah that we just discussed. But for Na'asev Nishma to exist, you gotta have money. I'll tell you a hadith that we once said on the importance of supporting Torah. God tells Abraham Avinu that don't worry, when the Jewish people leave Egypt, they're going to leave with a lot of money. So Avraham Avinu was excited, maybe. So when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt, God told Moshe Rabbeinu, hey, listen, I have to make good on this promise that I made to Avraham Avinu. I don't want Avraham Avinu to come out claims against me. He's going to come along and say, hey, you told me the Kush Gadol, you didn't give me anything, I got bupkis. So Abraham shouldn't have claims on me. Go tell him to take the money. You understand? And I asked a simple question. Since when did the Tzaddikim have claims on money? I thought Tzaddikim hate money. Anytime you go to a class, they tell you money is the Satan. One rabbi said, dollar is gematria amalek. And now you come along, and you come and tell me that Avraham Avinu is going to come and not, where's the money? Avraham Avinu cares about money. That God is worried about Avraham's claim? A strange claim that Avraham Avinu would have. You understand what I'm saying or no? It's a strange claim. You know, it's not strange for us that are lured into money. But Avraham Avinu doesn't care about money. They don't care about money. And guess what? I'll tell you another thing. Everybody knows the hadith that we always say that what is Rechush Gadol? How do you know Rechush Gadol is Torah? When God said Rechush Gadol, it wasn't money. I guarantee it wasn't money. And I'll prove it to you. Rechush Gadol, if I say Rechush Gadol, how much is Rechush Gadol? The answer is it's relative who's talking. It's relative what a great wealth is. Depends who's talking. If you ask Slim Hilu from Mexico, Carlos Slim Hilu, he'll tell you. I tell Slim Hilu, you see this guy, Mr. Hilu, he has $10 billion. He says, so sorry, you called me to waste my time, and the guy has $10 billion. I'm worth $50 billion. No. Unless the guy has more than $50 billion, don't waste my time with this over here. $10 billion is nothing to him. He's worth 70. Of course you can. So you're proving it, Eddie. That's relative who you're talking to. Then the guy who comes there every day to collect tzedakah, everybody's giving him a nickel. One guy takes out a $5 bill. What does the guy do? He puts it in his shirt pocket, the $5 bill. This goes in the safe. He goes up to his wife, he says, the guy gave me $5. He must have made a mistake. He must have thought it was a counterfeit. He gave me a $5 bill. Now when God says they're going to leave the Rechush Gadol, who's talking? God's talking. How much is the Rechush Gadol? God who owns the seven continents and all the oceans and all the stars. What could God mean when he says the Rechush Gadol? Where God's getting excited. So my proof must be that the Rechush Gadol cannot be anything monetary, because monetary is not going to excite God. Must be something spiritual. So he said, Rechush Gadol Torah. And I'll prove it to you from the text. The Gaon of Vilna says, what is the difference between the word Ram and Gadol? Ram represents something that's high, but it's not low. An airplane at 36,000 feet is Ram. High, but not low. A tree, on the other hand, says the Gaon is Gadol, because the tree is high, but it has roots on the ground. And he brought a proof to this. The Goyim, they say that where is God? In the sky. And what do we say? God is in the sky, but he has his presence on earth. And what's the person say? Adonai b'siyon gadol. The Ram hu al kol ha'amim. The people of Tzion, we say God is gadol. He's up and down. Ram al kol goyim Adonai al ha'shamayim kevodo. God is Ram. Where is his glory? Al ha'shamayim. Understand? That's what the goyim say. Ram. You understand? Spiritual things. Spiritual things are gadol. Spiritual things we do on earth, but they have a ramification in heaven. Physical things are not gadol. When God came along and said, "V'harechen yitzu b'rechush gadol," how could a rechush be gadol? Rechush is not. If it's talking about a lot of money, it should say rechush rav. That's the word for a lot. Quantity is defined by the word rav, not gadol. Gadol is the wrong word. You understand what I'm saying? You have no clue what I'm saying. I'm saying, v'harechen yitzu b'rechush rav, or b'rechush harbeh. Rechush gadol. Gadol doesn't work by money. Gadol is so much something that's spiritual, that has a presence above, and has ramifications on earth. That can only be Torah. That has to be Torah. So God, in his words, it's forced that he meant Torah. V'harechen yitzu b'rechush, he said, not b'rechush harbeh, he said b'rechush gadol. So he never meant money. But since Avraham Avinu might have thought that he meant money, says, you know what? Take the money also, just to satisfy, but doesn't answer my question. If God meant Torah, it's Torah. So I'm going to explain to you the Hiddush. Avraham knew that it was Torah. He knew that it was Torah. Of course, Avraham doesn't know God. If I know what Gadol is, Avraham doesn't know what Gadol is. The God of Israel knew what Gadol is. He understood God's nuance. Avraham doesn't care about money. But Avraham Avinu... Avraham Avinu was Rosh Yeshiva. Zaken, v'yoshev, v'yeshiva. You understand that? In the movie, the Ten Commandments, they don't make Avraham like a Rosh Yeshiva. They depict him in a very secular way. I don't even know if he's wearing a yarmulke in the movie. But Avraham Avinu was a Gadol Ador. He was a rabbi. He was a chief rabbi. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. He had students. He gave shiurim. Understand? And there's one thing that a Rosh Yeshiva understands more than anybody else when it comes to Torah. And what does he understand? That it costs money. that it costs money. That's why the Rosh Yeshivas are coming here to collect money. Why? Because to run a yeshiva, it costs money. They know that. The guys who don't know what yeshiva is, say, hey, we have to pay for this. We have to pay for this. How do you want them to learn on fumes? How are they going to exist? Imen kemach en Torah. But who understands Imen kemach en Torah better than a Rosh Yeshiva? Who's going to pay the rabbis? Who's going to pay for the lunch? Who's going to pay for the lights? Who's going to pay for the books? Someone's got to come from somewhere. So Avraham Avinu knew that God meant Torah. But Avraham Avinu is going to come now to God as a Rosh Yeshiva and say, God, if you're going to obligate Am Yisrael with this great Torah, you have to give them the money to support it as well. That's what the claim of Avraham Avinu is going to be. Not the interest of his money. Avraham Avinu is going to come along and say, we need the kemah. Understand? That's the claim of Avraham Avinu. Where's the kemah? Where's the... How do I know that that's what Avraham Avinu was concerned? Everything that Avraham Avinu did already, he did with tremendous kavanot. He did it with tremendous kavanot. One of the claims that the angels had against us receiving the Torah, what are you giving the Torah to the human beings for? What are you giving it to? They don't deserve it. They don't. So Avraham Avinu says in the Midrash, all of a sudden the face of Moshe Rabbeinu turned into the face of Avraham Avinu. God says to the angel, not embarrassed. You went to the guy's house. He fed you. He gave you all this stuff, and you're coming along. Says when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah, so it says that the angels didn't want to give the Torah to Moshe. They said, "Hey, it's not for human beings. This Torah." So God says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Also, Moshe Rabbeinu's face changed to the face of Abraham for a moment. So God tells the angels, "You recognize this guy?" I said, yeah, it's Abraham. You're not embarrassed? You went to his house. He fed you. He gave you everything. So the angel said, oh, okay. Give the Torah. So they had lunch by Avraham Avinu. That's what I have to give the Torah. What was the claim over here? You have to give the Torah to the angels. The Torah has to be applicable to the angels. One of the mitzvot in the Torah is mitzvah tzedakah. The mitzvah of charity. What's the mitzvah of charity? To support Torah. If Torah is going to be in Shamayim, where's that mitzvah tzedakah? Which means the angels could study your Torah, but where's going to be the... Where's going to be the support of Torah? Support of Torah is part of the mitzvah. Yichol Yitirumah. That's why Avraham Avinu, when he saw the angels, what did he tell his wife? He makes sure to tell his wife, go bring kemah. What does he have to scream? Go bring kemah. Kemah solid. Go bring the kemah. Go bring the flour. He's telling the angel, this is why you don't get the Torah over here. You see, this is because you guys only have Torah, you don't have kemah. And now Torah, in this book over here, it says you have to have both. You have to have Torah and you have to have Kemah. You guys don't have Kemah. I have to give you the Kemah because you don't have Kemah. So God says to the angels, you don't remember that story over there? With Abraham? You didn't get what Abraham was doing with that Kemah? Saw that story over there? You didn't get what he was telling you? That moment over there, Abraham was telling you, you're out. They said, you're right. That's what the Mishnah means when it says, "En kemah, en Torah." If you are not able to support it, you don't get it. And the angels don't have kemah, therefore they don't have Torah. Here's the way we're learning the Mishnah: "En kemah." If a person does not have kemah, meaning the Amalekim don't have kemah, they don't need kemah. There's no Torah then. Torah and kemah go together. They're disconnected. Only those that are able to support it get it. But if you get it for free, It doesn't work. That's why in the Beit HaMikdash, what was the cross from the menorah? The Shulchan. The Shulchan is the Ke'emah, and the menorah is the Torah. You need both. The Malachim don't have both. They just have Torah. And they say, oh, give it to us. Go back, review. Play the tape back. Go play that tape back. You about Avraham Avinu's eyes. You didn't understand what he was telling you? Avraham Avinu on that day when the angels come was securing that the Torah is saved by us. Understand the depth of that story of the Kemah of Avraham Avinu? Oho. So that's what Avraham Avinu was telling God. You're right. Okay, Hashem, you want us to learn Torah, no problem, but with Torah has to come down some money as well. Who's going to pay for everything? I'm not questioning how much money they get, nor am I questioning how much money you make in Sensational every day at the register. No one's counting your money. No one's questioning how much chicken Caesar salad you sell every day either, guy. Were you counting the Rosh Hashiva's money? I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're saying. The guy's counting the Rosh Hashiva's money. We're not counting how many sandwiches you sell. Don't count the Rosh Hashiva's money. Now, the point is like this. The point is like this. It's not the point. The point is like this. So that's what it means over here. When God said, I'm worried about Avraham Avinu. Avraham is going to come along. He has a good claim. I didn't mean money, but he has a good claim. Because with this goes this. You need both. You need both. And Avraham Avinu is right. That's why he gave us the money. Motzei Shabbat, we sing a song. What's the song that we sing? Amavdir ben kodesh lechol, chatotenu yimchol, zareinu v'chaspenu yerbe kachol. We say to God, it's like a rhyme. Amavdir ben kodesh lechol, whatever that means. You separate from kodesh lechol. Chatotenu yimchol, forgive our sins. Zareinu v'chaspenu yerbe kachol. Multiply our children and our money like the sand on the beach. Now, I'm not against having a lot of money, but that is a lot of money. You stand on the beach and we talk about excess. What kind of song is that? Zareinu v'chaspenu yerbe kahol. You want to have a lot of children, have no problem. Some people fulfill this literally. Zareinu kahol, Hashem Yisrael. They have 100 children. Beautiful. Rav banav. But what does it mean, v'chaspenu? So I once heard from one great rabbi, he said, because if you're going to ask for Zara'enu Kahol, you need Kaspenu Kahol to raise them. You need money Kahol if you have Zara'enu, because it costs money. To educate these kids, it costs money. Tutors and the schools and this and that. So therefore, what do you think? God, if you want us to raise children in the way of Torah, you have to give us money as well in the same level. And that's what Chaim Kreisler said. Motzi et amet, en motziim et amet min adereka, ela al yidei kikar betinok. That when one takes his kikar and he invests it in tinokot shel bet rabban, in the students, when he takes the rechush gadol of Torah, and he takes the rechush of the physical, and he puts them together, he puts kikar betinok, tinokot shel bet rabban together, so then that already saves the person from the fires of Gehenna. But there's one more point. Once already we're explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Imen Kemach and Torah. I explained you that already. But what does it mean, Imen Torah and Kemach? If there's no Torah, there's no Kemach. What does that mean? What's the reverse? What does it mean? You mean Torah and Kemah. You say if you don't learn Torah, you don't get Kemah? I'll show you many guys don't learn Torah, they're billionaires. I'm reversing it, but I don't understand what it means. Im'en Torah and Kemah. Not so. I'll show you a guy down the block, you don't learn one word. The guy's sitting on $1 billion. Go tell him, Im'en Torah and Kemah. He's laughing your head, they're laughing your face. I'll say, yeah, I just proved that Mishnah. Now what? Explanation is deeper than that, Rabotai. Huh? So I'll explain to you deeper. I'll explain to you what Eddie means. What he's trying to say is like this. When God created the world, there was two brothers, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav made a deal in the womb. Don't ask me how they made a deal in the womb. They made a deal in the womb. Yaakov told Esav, you take Olam Hazeh. And Esav said, fine, I'll give you Olam Haba. They shook hands. That was the deal. So Yaakov is an Olam Haba man. Olam Hazeh belongs to Esav. So if that's the question, every child of Yaakov is in contempt of this breach because of this covenant. Because you have a car, you have a bicycle, you have money, you have a couple of suits in your closet, you have a pair of shoes. What are you doing? You have a house? Hey, I thought Olam Hazeh belongs to Esav. How do we have a right to take anything if already we relinquished it to Esav? Just like if Esav would come to Olam Haba and say, hey, Olam Haba is mine. Hey, slow down. Olam Haba doesn't belong to you. Get out of here. So he could come to us the same way. You understand so far? Oh, no. So what's our legal right to take from Olam Hazeh? Yeah. It's even better. Use it correctly, so then already you're limited to the minimum. So anybody that has a little extra, you ready to tell me he's stealing from Esav? Meaning, okay, lechem lechot, they get the voice. I said, give me two pieces of Wonder Bread, give me one fruit, and that's it. Jelly bean? No, that's extra. You don't need a jelly bean. Spices like this. Let's say the halakha says like this. Let's say I see, I'm sitting by the river, and there's a whole house of furniture that's floating down the river. My God, there must have been some sort of, the river must have overflowed its banks in the town, and it took everything, and now it's all going downstream. I see over there, there's an unbelievable couch. The couch has the plastic on it, so it's waterproof. My wife says, unbelievable, look at this couch over here. Look at this couch. I take out my fishing rod, and I reel in the couch. Can I keep the couch or not? Stay there. It's a case, exactly. That's called Zuto Shel Yam. Zuto Tegemaran B'Metziah. Zutot Shel Yam means a matzil mizutot shel. If I'm saving something from a raging sea, I mean the thing is gone. The guy for sure is hefker. It's gone. A matzil mizutot shel yam, you can keep it. The guy is hefker. I'm taking it. That becomes ownerless at that point. Once the sea takes it out, it's destruction. Kol hakodem zakah. Understand so far? 100%. The guy goes to the bottom of the sea and finds something. No, the guy's going to have to find the manifest of the Titanic of 2,000 years ago. Did anybody lose a buffalo nickel? Of course not. You find it in the bottom of the ocean, and it's yours. But when the ocean comes and grabs everything, it's yours. Lutosh and Yam. Washes up on the beach somewhere. Lutosh and Yam, you keep it. In last week's Haftarah, we read, if it wasn't for the study of Torah, what would happen to the world? The world would be destroyed. If there'd be no Torah in the world would just be everything. And there'd be no world. There'd be no world. Oh. So therefore, without us studying Torah, there's no world. The world would be Zutot Shel Yam. The world would just be... So we're studying Torah. We're saving the property of the world from Zutot Shel Yam. Understand the mechanics what happened over here? If we didn't study Torah, the waters would come and... So that's what's going to happen. So what I do? I study Torah. It kept it in existence. So I saved the property from Zutot Shel Yam. So only those that study Torah have a right to take. In En Torah, En Kemach. If you don't study Torah, you have no right to take Kemach. Because that already belongs to Esav. But if you're the one that saved the world, okay, so you can take from it then. Because without you, the world would have been destroyed. Esav would have lost everything. So you saved it. You can take. But a guy that doesn't study, it's a problem. Because you didn't save the world and you're Jewish. You cannot take your study. So it's the opposite. It's the only people that are allowed to take it, the Amalei Torah. And ironically, those are usually the people that take the least. It's unbelievable. They're the only ones that are allowed to take, but they're not interested because they're studying Torah. That's the depth of the Mishnah both ways. Inen kemach, if you don't have the ability to support Torah, in Torah, you don't deserve to get the Torah. That's the Malachim. Well, in Torah, if you don't study Torah, in kemach, you have no right to take, because then it belongs to Hashem. All right, we'll stop it. Amen.